know that Father Aaron has recently made it known that he has begun running and working out and things like that, and I keep getting asked if I am going to start that as well, and I'm here to tell you with a resounding answer, no, I'm not. I despise running. I just can't do it. There's this sense of like, what did I just do with the last half hour of my life when I would get done with a run? Like, what's the point? What's the end goal? Am I accomplishing something? Am I doing something? No, I'm running for the sake of running. And mentally, I just can't bring myself to want to do that. Like, don't get me wrong. Physical activity, fine, I like it. You want something built, you want some wood chopped, you want like a game to be played, I can do that. And I will do that because I'm doing something. But just running for the sake of running, I can't. Like, even I ran track, at least there's a goal, I'm gonna beat that guy next to me. But just to go for a run, I can't wrap my mind around it. I know my doctor would like me to, but thanks be to God, they're not my master, and I don't have to do what they say. But I think sometimes our spiritual life can be like that, right? Like, what's the immediate end goal of why I'm doing these things? I'm not, you know, prayer can seem like a waste of time. It's not accomplishing anything right now. It's not making my life perfect right now. We're waiting for something, as Jesus makes clear in our gospel. We're waiting for our master to come back. And it can be hard to persevere through that, through the waiting. And we get complacent, and we start to drop off our end goal and say, I want to see results now, so I'm going to make something else in my life more important. Whether it's the money in my bank account or how good my house looks or how many followers I have on social media. Like, those are results I can see. I'm going to work for that. And all of a sudden, our heart is not where it needs to be. Our heart is set on things of this world rather than on the things of heaven. And it is a dangerous slope to slip down. In our second reading today, we hear about the great example of faith in Abraham. It talks about faith being the realization of what is hoped for and evidence of things not seen. He says, they died in faith. They did not receive what had been promised, but they saw it and greeted it from afar. It says, in thinking of the land of which they came from, they would have had the opportunity to return, but now they desire a better homeland, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Abraham trusted in God's word and the meaning, even if it wasn't going to be realized right in front of him here and now. They saw it from afar and greeted it. They trusted that God had the power to raise from the dead. They looked forward to that heavenly kingdom, even if it wasn't just around the corner. And we are called to have that same faith. In our society today, we see all too horrifically what happens if we don't have that as the end goal of our life, to reach heaven, to be with our God. Today, the world tells us life is what you make of it. You decide what it means. And I don't know about you, but I don't trust myself to make that decision. I would settle for something far less and worse and probably not even be able to attain that. And isn't that the reality for so many people? My goal in life is to be rich and famous, and so many people can't do it, so my life has no meaning. The amount of depression and suicide, alcoholism and drug use, I believe is directly related to that. They're trying to assign meaning to life that's not there, and they can't attain it. And they fall, and life is destroyed because of it. But if we look forward to our heavenly home and know what we're striving for, preparing ourselves even now for whenever Jesus may come, our life has meaning in every moment. and a meaning greater than ourselves. I believe this is why Jesus tells them in the gospel, "Do not be afraid any longer, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom." There is a light at the end of the tunnel, and we don't always see it clearly, but we have faith that it is there. Faith that is grounded on reality, on the story of all those who've gone before us, on the story of Abraham and Isaac, on the story of Jesus Christ who entered into our world, suffered, died, and was raised from the dead, and ascended into heaven, showing us that yes, it is possible, and promising that he will come back to take us with him. But we have to be prepared. Jesus gives this instruction, "Gird your loins and light your lamps." He makes no bones about it. It's going to be work until he comes back. We need to be dressed for work. Gird your loins, and it's going to go into the night. Light your lamps. You'll need it. But we know what we're working for. There is a goal in mind, and it is greater than anything on this earth. But while we're waiting, we cannot let ourselves grow complacent. We need to set our heart where we truly want our treasure to be, to set our hearts in the things of heaven, to make that our end each and every day. Because who knows? It might be today. And we have been entrusted with so much. I think of the history of this as the oldest parish in Cedar Rapids, this beautiful church that our ancestors have worked so hard to build and you too to maintain. The faith that has been handed on to us by our parents and grandparents. The priests who've gone before preaching the faith in this area to tell us what awaits us in the kingdom of heaven if only we desire it. But that places a burden upon us. A responsibility to live it out, to do it, and to hand it on for those who will come after us. Jesus says in the gospel, "The servant who knew his master's will but did not make preparations or act in accord with it will be severely beaten." We know what God wants of us, and we don't know when he'll come, but we know that we must be attentive now. We have been given his will. It's handed on to us in Scripture and down through the ages by our ancestors who've given us the faith. Are we attentive and ready for Christ's coming now? Or do we get complacent, thinking, "There's no reason for this, or I can put it off"? No, brothers and sisters, each and every day we must set our hearts on the things of heaven. We must prepare our soul even now for when Christ comes again, or we may be caught off guard. And God forbid that Christ find us not doing his will. There are eternal repercussions. May we, like Abraham, like the prophets and saints who've gone before us, set our hearts on the things of heaven and in faith strive to achieve them each and every day. Even now, we greet them from afar as we come to this Mass and have communion with our God, with whom we long to be forever in heaven. Jesus comes to us even now to share that divine life with us. May we take this foretaste of heaven and remind ourselves of our end so that we don't slip into complacency and think it pointless and strive for anything less. Because, brothers and sisters, our Father is pleased to give us the kingdom. Are you prepared to accept it?